episode 114 of the TV Dudes, recorded January 4th, 2017. Flea bags and belters.
I don't know if there's anything that gives me more joy than watching the confusion of your season. You forgot what the title was.
I never remember.
It's just the crazy. It's this momentary panic.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What was it? Well, hey, welcome to the TV Dudes. This week, obviously, is the start of a brand new year here in TV Dudes land.
Yeah.
And we are cleaning our hands of 2016. We're looking forward to the great year we're going to have in 2017.
In TV.
In TV. And we have Ashley with us this week.
Because
we're going to discuss... Hi, Ashley.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. We're going to discuss some Amazon shows that we all... caught up on. Got to watch Fleabag and we got to watch The Expanse.
These are two shows that could have been on the best of 2016, but we all had too much TV to watch.
It's a shame. Yeah. These were really good.
They're really good.
I was looking at our list. I'm like, ugh, amateur hour. We should have been watching these shows.
The Good Place. More like the not as good as Fleabag place.
No joke. Really? That's the one that you would bump?
Better Call Saul. Better Call The Expanse. It's better than Better Call Saul.
You shut your mouth.
That's all
you
I got.
Shut your mouth.
I don't have anything
you
else.
Do not believe that about Westworld. Better Call Saul.
More like... No, fuck it. Westworld's great.
That's a little bit better.
I was actually just waiting for the joke to follow that. I was going to be impressed with the pun off the cuff. But now I'm let down.
I'm used to letting women down.
Yeah, well, I'm used to being let down.
This is a match made. Hey, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Ashley.
And we're going to go ahead and jump into everything. I just wanted to give a quick reminder that if you guys want to help support the show, you can do that two ways. Go to iTunes.com. I don't think it's a .com, actually.
It's iTunes.com.
Is it?
Or not net or .biz, whatever.
Just go to the application. Either on your phone or go to it on your computer. Go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Write us a little review. That's a great way to help out the show. The other way is go to patreon.com/TVDudes. And you can make a per-episode pledge over there. And in exchange, you get bonus exclusive content.
Which we just modified.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's new levels, right?
We shifted our levels. We couldn't keep committing Greg to doing certain things now that he's living out in California.
Sure, just because he moved to L.A., not to write music for us anymore.
But we did get one donor that did that level, and so I've put that on Greg's docket for when he has time. Hopefully he can get to it.
But we're working on a special show for one of our Patreon listeners. We're watching a show that had sort of fallen off all our radar for one of our new patrons, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have a bonus episode next week, so keep an eye out for that because we're going to be discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and not a bonus like... This patron has benefited all of you because we're going to release that to the wild,
yes.
Right? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So you all will get a bonus Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode because of this patron. So you should really thank him or, you know, donate to the Patreon yourself and stop being such a freeloader.
I mean, we still have to follow through. So once we follow through, Grant, then they can thank him.
I find it better to make promises before you've had followed through on them.
Why am I sweating so much?
It's kind of like when you go somewhere, you burn the ship so people can't go back.
Yeah.
It's like that. But I like to burn the ships before you get there.
That seems
I like to get ahead
up,
of it.
Doesn't it?
I like
Randy?
To get ahead of it.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, you forgot a third way people can support us.
How's that?
Skywriting. We love TV Dudes.
That's so extravagant.
In the air above Austin.
Honestly, yeah. If you guys want to go and write a review for us anywhere on the internet
or in the air with skywriting,
or in the air, take some photos of that one. But yeah, you guys can email us that, or if you guys have any questions, you can email us at admin@thetvdudes.com. Or you can message us on Facebook or on Twitter, which we're going to go to right now because we have some listener questions.
Yay.
Our first listener question comes to us from Justin Zarian, who says, if you had a chance to recast a leading character on a show with a different actor who is the complete antithesis of that character, what would be the funniest/worst option you could even think of? For some reason, the idea of hearing Chris Tucker reading Jon Snow's brooding dialogue sounds like comedy gold to me.
That is correct. That is actually fantastic.
Oh, man.
I feel like if you got, you know, Vic Mackey was like a badass in The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you got the guy who played the soft and cuddly Kamish to play him, that'd probably be the same guy.
Or the dad from No Ordinary Family.
Yes.
Yeah. Who the hell was that?
I know there's good answers.
I mean,
for this.
Yeah, think of Hal from Malcolm in the Middle all of a sudden switching roles with Walter White. Shit, same actor though. It doesn't work.
I feel like you put Jerry Seinfeld into any drama, it's immediately gonna be terrible and hilarious. Like Jerry Seinfeld should be the new guy to take over. I don't know who's running CSI anymore. Ted Danson, they shut it down, whatever. But if you bring Jerry Seinfeld to be the new Gil Grissom on CSI, that's going to be a very different show.
Yeah, can we put Michael Richards, replace Stringer Bell with Michael Richards?
I want to see Janine Garofalo play Ice-T, but only his incredulous scenes on SVU.
Oh, yes.
That would be amazing. All right, next question comes to us from Zach McLernan, who says, with the 12th return of It's Always Sunny in imminent, what is your absolute favorite episode of the show so far, and what's your favorite season?
So first of all, I want to say that it's insane that there's a comedy that's been going for 12 seasons that is still great.
Yes.
That's crazy. This is a question that's tough. I saw this one earlier, and I don't know if I can, I mean, there's so many shows. It's like 12 seasons of a show, well, 11 that have been on. We're talking about hundreds of at least over 100 episodes.
The Christmas episode is pretty fantastic.
It is pretty great. I like Bums leaving a mess all over our city. That's the one where Frank gets a police car and Charlie turns into Serpico.
Yeah. The episode where they solve the gas crisis and Charlie ends up as a wild card because they're all jockeying for who gets to be the tough guy or the smart guy.
Yes.
I also like the episode where they go to the abortion rallies to meet girls and end up hopping the fence. I like that one, and I like the green man suit.
Oh, yeah.
Green man. Like, lizards, where?
Next one comes to us from Dennis McElwain, who says, hey, dudes, what was the biggest surprise in TV fiction last year? Stay drunk and confident. The biggest surprise in TV fiction. I guess the biggest twist in a show that we saw.
You know, I was trying to think. Like, Westworld had surprises, but I think we all kind of sort of saw them coming before they came.
Yeah. Who saw Jon Snow coming back?
Everyone. Literally everyone.
Everyone saw him.
Literally everyone on the
internet. Guys, Grant can hear you. Shh. We were all surprised. Big twist in fiction.
Yeah, okay, good. Right? That was a big one.
I'm having trouble thinking of like a big surprise moment that maybe it's because we're on the internet and we see all these surprises and everything gets sort of figured out before we get to them.
Yeah, I mean, this one was particularly ruined for you, but if we go back to Game of Thrones, which is our big twist week. The reveal with Hodor was a pretty big one for everyone. Everyone was flipping their shit.
That would have been great if I hadn't had people spoil it all over the internet before I watched it.
I stayed off the internet until I did see it.
I should have. It was like an hour. I mean, it was like an hour behind.
Yeah.
Next one comes to us from Where's Wallace over on Twitter, who says, hey dudes, take your top three anticipated 2017 shows and tell us how the network, showrunner, etc. is going to screw it up. I mean, this is a pretty ambitious question.
That's
here.
Dark, man.
Leviathan Wakes. The Expanse, and not release it on streaming until Christmas.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up.
Yeah. American Gods. I think that they're going to let Starz have too much of a say in what Brian Fuller does, or they're going to have expectations of needing high ratings immediately.
That's a good point. Yeah,
that always kills every Brian Fuller show.
Because because Starz does not have a great track record with sort of smart, sophisticated drama. They tend to do sort of trashy stuff, and some of it's good.
Yeah, but they'll let a trashy show like Spartacus keep going.
And so, I do think that's
kind of good.
I do think that's a worry because American Gods is a different type of beast for them. So, I think that's a reasonable worry.
I would imagine they're like super excited. Okay, that's their prestige show.
Legion on FX by Noah Hawley. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. Super looking forward to it. I'm afraid, what if it's too quirky and weird and isn't fun? Is too much in the fun and just basically becomes like nonsensical? That's a good screw up.
Hmm. I could see that.
I don't think it's going to happen, but that's how I think it could go wrong.
If you're being an ultimate pessimist, how is season 3 of Fargo going to go wrong?
They're going to do the same thing True Detective did. They're going to go too slow, and they're going to go too wide, too many characters, and the story won't come together. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen either, by the way.
Pretentious as fuck.
Not going to happen either.
All right. Our last question comes to us from Thor Wodinson, also on Twitter, who says, as a cyberpunk fan predicting a cyberpunk resurgence and 80s synthwave 2, how are you liking the world building of The Expanse? Which he adds on to. He says, great sci-fi shows current political issues in new ways. With cyberpunk being set not very far in the future, it can really hit close to home.
Yeah, well, we're about to be in a cyberpunk future for real. So the only thing we're missing is cybernetics. So really, and we've got a little bit of this.
Yeah.
So real close to home. But The Expanse, I wouldn't consider cyberpunk, though. I think The Expanse is still, it's a little bit more out there. There's not usually as much space travel in a cyberpunk show. It's usually more...
I found a lot of it believable.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It seems pretty grounded and optimistic.
Their world building is fantastic.
Yeah, well, I liked a lot of the subtle things that made it so believable. Like, I like the seawalls in New York.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's just because, like, we built out as far as we can because we already did that. I think it's because the oceans are rising.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many wonderful touches like that that I thought made it futuristic, but believable.
Well, also, the lead character's family, I can't remember his name now, I'm blanking. Not Miller, but the other...
Holden.
Holden. Holden's family being sort of a... like a big commune type family that had incorporated and he had like multiple moms, multiple dads. That's really interesting to me because that's sort of a thing I'm like, is that that's a social trend I think is interesting that I could see going forward. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I do think if one thing can be called cyberpunk, I would definitely say it's Miller's haircut. Yes. That's literally, it's sort of like if you go in to get a tattoo and you look on the wall,
yeah.
His is, that's the name of it.
Yeah,
that's cyberpunk.
Can you give me the cyberpunk? Yeah. Mm-hmm,
could I get the Gary Oldman from Fifth Element, please?
Thank you. I would like that.
It's like, no need for the plastic bowl.
Exactly.
Just the rest of it.
Yeah.
Let's not get stupid.
Yeah, he says, give me an Oldman from Fifth Element to hold the bowl. We don't talk about this much since Greg left, but I think we're all huge, huge Nashville fans.
Nope, nope, nope.
And especially since it moved over to CMT, the Country Music Television Network.
Nope.
I think we're all super caught up.
Randy Sopp, nope.
And the one thing we really need is an after show called Nash Chat. Because that's real and actually happening.
We're fans of Connie Britton. I think that's safe to say.
I love Connie Britton, and that's why I don't understand why she's doing another season of... I thought she was free, and it's back.
Because it's a steady paycheck, and now she's got a family, man. She's got a family among these people on the show.
It's its fifth season.
Yeah.
Well, it was canceled by ABC.
I think she just like signed up for another season, so she's sticking with it.
CMT and Hulu resurrect... I mean, Hayden Panettiere, that's fine. This is what she should be doing, but...
Well, let's get to the issue at hand here. Such a trend now that all these shows get a review show after each episode because people like their commentary. Hey, thanks every new listener who's checking out the TV Dudes, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's definitely a market for people to listen to people talking about TV, and that's good for us.
Why don't we have our own show?
You know the guys from The Ringer who do a TV podcast?
Mm-hmm.
They wound up doing that Game of Thrones after show on HBO.
Motherfuckers.
We just don't have enough connections.
We need more exposure.
Yeah.
Randy, you need to start exposing yourself more.
I can't possibly do that. I don't know how I would do that more.
Ah, put some pants on.
Sorry. No, what we need to do is we need a very... Like, those guys, they were big Game of Thrones fans, and people knew they were Game of Thrones fans, and that's why the HBO kind of reached out, also Bill Simmons and HBO. But... what we need is a very specific show that's targeted at one specific fandom. It should be a really big fandom, like a popular show. There's a lot of money in it. And then we should just hit that and get to know all the creators. And then when they need an after show for that, mm-hmm. we could be that. So like just to throw one out, just off the top of my head,
the
first thing I think, Terriers, I think, is the show.
It's the longest setup.
I know. It just kept getting funnier to me.
I got a slightly long, but not that long setup. Hey, Grant.
Yeah?
Which one of Randy's favorite shows?
Is it Terriers?
Also, you're the worst.
Oh.
You're the worst.
I am actually the worst.
What else we got, man?
All right. So, there were a lot of people. We did a Patreon on this. We lost a lot of people in 2016.
Wow.
And so we thought we'd run them down. There's an article from Variety.
Should I play a song behind this?
Sure. Let's. I'll remember.
Can it be
you.
A Sarah McLachlan? Nailed it.
We all were thinking it was the best song.
It's already playing in our heads.
If after we do this list, maybe as bonus content, I could put together a reflective slideshow.
I like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and maybe maybe I could put a slideshow together of my favorite moments from a little show I like to call Terriers.
Come on.
Okay.
Who in TV died?
It's in reverse order here. So Florence Henderson, Carol Brady of the Brady Bunch, died age 82. That's pretty good.
I feel like if you're over 70, that's a pretty good run.
Yep. So if you're a listener over 70, Grant thinks you've had enough.
I could even lower it to like 67, 68. Uh-huh. And still be like, that's a pretty long life.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. 50, anything over 40, really.
I don't like where this is going. Why are you looking at me like that?
Just saying, anyone.
This episode has gotten dark.
Then in December, Alan Thicke, who was the patriarch on Growing Pains.
That one was kind of, like, how old was he?
He was 69, had a heart attack while playing hockey.
That's the cutoff for me still.
No, you said over 70.
Well, I dropped it down to 67.
Okay. All right.
You dropped it down to 40, Randy.
Yeah, I know. Now he's like, Randy can go anytime now.
Sharpening my knife.
Kind of tired of him, to be honest. Morley Safer from 60 Minutes, age 84. So over Grant's cutoff.
This is a dark way to review this, but I like it.
We should be sorrow-stricken.
No, Grant's a robot. He's not sad about anybody.
No, I really am not.
That's why I find this so funny. This one sucked. Gwen Ifill, PBS journalist. She died from cancer at 58.
That was super sad.
That was super sad. And also, she was great. I love Gwen Ifill.
Yeah.
ESPN anchor John Saunders and TNT TBS sideline reporter Craig Sager. I don't know either of those guys, actually.
Sager always wore the colorful jackets on in NBA.
I don't know. I don't watch the sports.
Okay, fair enough.
Other notable stars include Days of Our Lives arch villain Joseph Mescalo, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s Robert Vaughn. Oh, man, I forgot Robert Vaughn died. And Everybody Loves Raymond matriarch Doris Roberts.
Were they all older?
Doesn't say. It says here...
And by that, he means over 40?
It says here, Grant shouldn't be sad about this.
Okay. Should I be sad? Right now, I have Gwen Ifill on my left.
And this is interesting. Reality TV lost the voice contestant Christine Grimmie, who I don't know. Mob Wives star Angela Joyce Raiola, a.k.a. Big Ange. I don't know anything about that, but now I kind of wish I was watching Mob Wives. I'm not going to lie.
It's a solid name. It's a nickname any of us would want to live up to.
And WWE's Joni Lorre, a.k.a. China, which I forgot. On the production side, Gary Marshall, notably writer-producer of Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, The Odd Couple. NCIS showrunner Gary Glasberg, didn't know that. And prolific writer-producer Scott Nimmerfro. They're also lost executive Grant Tinker, who was a legendary NBC and MTM Enterprises executive.
That one... gets an automatic sad just because of the name.
Grant.
Yeah. It's kindred spirit.
Not Tinker. I thought maybe you...
It's actually the Tinker part.
I hate to lose a Tinker, a Taylor, or a Spy.
Oh my God.
Or a Soldier. All right. So let's talk streaming TV. The last two news bits we've got are all streaming TV.
Okay.
Hulu is working on a live TV service at a price point under $40, which I guess... You know, we talked about AT&T's DirecTV Now... that I guess starts at $35 and then I guess turns out later to be $60.
Yeah.
It's like a bait and switch kind of thing. Hulu has said
where would they get that model from?
I can't imagine. Hulu says they will keep the sub 40. That'll be their price. That includes the script subscription video on demand offering, as well as a cloud DVR. And that they have reached a deal with CBS.
I mean, do they really need a cloud DVR when it's Hulu, who just already has all their stuff stored?
I guess, but I think there are some things, like, for example, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I couldn't watch the first three episodes because they aren't on Hulu anymore. So maybe if you can cloud DVR it, you can save it longer, maybe?
Or you need someone else to show you kind of a bootleg link. Wink, wink.
CBS has reached a deal to add CBS.
It's actually a guy named Cloud who comes and does that for you.
It is a guy named Cloud.
Is he an anime character?
Yeah. He's got all these zippers everywhere on his outfit.
But this is notable. CBS is going to be on this bundle, which is interesting because CBS is not anywhere streaming. They're launching their own streaming service. So that's kind of a big deal. But the thing I think is notable about this is that we've gotten to this whole streaming place. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's trying to get back to selling me cable packages.
Well, they're not trying to do it for you. They're trying to do this for old people who are really set in the comfort of having one subscription package.
I was given to understand all everyone over 40 was old.
What? Are you still alive? What's going on?
That's why I turned the fan off. I don't want him to blow away like those dusty vampires in Interview.
Dusty Vampire was actually was the name of my hip hop band in college.
Oh my God, you guys need a fly girl? Because I'm old as fuck, but I could shake it.
That was our slogan.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good point. I think you're right that it's people who are used to cable and maybe cable's on its way out. Is it on its way out? We keep thinking that.
It's, yes, it is. It has to be.
And yet the baby boomers are still here. So maybe not. Maybe it'll linger longer than not.
It'll be around for a little bit more for them, but they're dying out in droves.
Yeah. But is the question is,
we got rid of a bunch of them last year.
Is this a product in search of a market, or is this them seeing a market that's going to exist? I'm not really sure which one.
I think there's an inevitability of everyone who's watching moving to streaming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people want cable. I think cable is an archaic kind of method anyway, because it's running cords when you just want to be able to watch something on your little iPhone on your pocket. I mean, you don't. You always want to blast it on your TV.
I want to watch it on a TV.
But people still want to stream it.
Yeah. No, that's a reasonable point. And I've been very happy with my cord cutting, which I'm coming up on 2 years of, and I love it. But what does that mean for sort of smaller channels like HGTV and those guys who get by on carriage fees?
I keep thinking there's similarities going on between what happened in the craft beer industry and what's going on here. And that,
do you have some kind of knowledge of the beer industry?
Only a little bit. Like, honestly, only a little bit.
But are you for real not going to pitch your podcast? I pitch mine every 10 minutes.
That people know. Whatever. Hey, I do a beer podcast called The Beerist. You guys should check it out. It's filthy. But yeah, in the beer community, like, breweries have been popping up. I think there's like 70 new ones each day in the US. Like, they're popping up like crazy.
Okay.
And what happens is that the big three, Coors, Miller, and Bud, they're losing space on the shelves. People are having a lot more opportunity to drink beer that actually has flavor, and they're realizing that it doesn't have to be that one style. There's so many different styles of beer, and it's exciting. So those big three companies see the writing on the wall, and they've been buying out a lot of these craft beer companies that have been kind of rising to the top.
Right.
I think it's the same thing that's going on here. The big four cable companies see the writing on the wall, and they're now really trying to adapt and buy up these smaller outlets that are making these shows. They're going to start consolidating them onto their network platforms.
It's an interesting point. I mean, we all know that all the streaming services started making content. Like, they realized that they wanted to be less than a delivery option. They want to be producers.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they also saw the writing on the wall that, oh, we've been successful. The big companies are going to come in and take away all this money.
Like, Netflix goes and buys other people's work and puts it on, and then they slap a stamp on it and say it's a Netflix original.
Literally everybody's work. It seems like there's 100 Netflix originals every week.
Yeah. Amazon, it seems like they're starting to do partnerships where they're kind of branding things as Amazon products, like Fleabag. But that wasn't like an Amazon original necessarily.
No, did they they're tagged at the end. Does anybody know the deal? Did they put money into it?
I think it was like BBC was originally doing a BBC Three or something. And then they did some partnership to air it here before it even started airing. And so Amazon also got to put their name on it.
Okay.
But it wasn't like their normal formula where they seem to make a pilot, they pitch it, and then they get everyone to kind of buy in before they'll do three seasons of some god-awful Ron Perlman
right.
show. Or yeah. Whatever.
There's an interesting division between Amazon Originals and Amazon's, like, because Fleabag, Catastrophe, I love both of those. Mm-hmm. But they're not really Amazon Originals.
They don't necessarily feel like the brand that they were establishing themselves.
Because their original stuff with Man in the High Castle and Transparent and some of those were good, but none of them have the same. None of them hit me like a Netflix show, at least for me yet. Do we want to talk? We've got this article from The Ringer that is about the various sort of the state of streaming right now.
Does it kind of address where each of these are heading?
Yeah. So Netflix marks its 10th year of a streaming service. So they've been around longer than that.
Wow.
Sending out DVDs in the mail to old people like mine.
Yeah, because it used to be like 2002, 2003. Yeah. I remember getting like the DVDs.
Yeah, that's right. So 10 years of streaming they're coming at. They have, it says here, they have a sprawling assortment of original shows that are not bound by genre, episode length, or any readily apparent quality control, which seems a little harsh. But then he says, in January, they will debut a reboot of the 1980s sitcom One Day at a Time, a new season of Degrassi Next Class, a TV adaptation of A Series of Unfortunate Events, and a new season of Big Brother-esque reality TV show Terrace House.
They said they're ramping up their original content, like 60%.
There's no obvious rhyme or reason to the kind of shows Netflix chooses to back, and that's the way the company likes it. Netflix wants to create hyper-specific programming for a wide variety of tastes. I think that's true.
Fuller House to Luke Cage. That's a wider range of audience right there.
Real Rob to Luke Cage.
Slash you don't Real get, Rob.
The brand will release 1,000 hours of original shows and movies in 2017 with an increased focus on unscripted shows. I don't like that. Unscripted shows does not sound good to me.
I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm is unscripted.
Yeah, I think they probably mean more documentary type stuff, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I was worried they meant like found footage things, too.
Yeah,
I feel like we found all the footage.
Yeah.
It's been found.
We found it, and anything we haven't found yet should just go back.
Yeah, exactly. No, that belongs in that guy's closet. It's weird.
Hulu is owned by the three major broadcast networks, which means it's controlled by Disney, Time Warner, and 21st Century Fox, which may be the only thing they agree on.
Yeah.
That they all own part of this network. And there's got to be conflict as a result of that.
Uncomfortable bedfellows.
Yeah. And
one of them's naked and one of them's in like a Mormon suit. They were not meant to sleep together.
No, CBS isn't in there.
Loved it.
And he talks about here that they're launching the that service we just talked about for $40 a month.
Yeah.
Sling TV, which I don't really know that much about, but has more than 600,000 people signed up. It's Dish's live TV streaming service, and they're announcing a new set-top box that combines Sling channels with an over-the-air antenna to pick up broadcast networks. So you can stream the cable networks and free broadcast through this interface. There's a cloud DVR. The cloud DVR is apparently a thing.
Sling is one of those, it's like Apple TV or Roku. It's just another system for grabbing all these other shows. And apparently you pay something so that you can stream what they're catching already.
You know, my wife has a thing called Tableau that's an app that you can access on the Apple TV and the Roku that you pay a lifetime fee for, and it lets you DVR over the air content with an antenna. I don't like it, but she's been using it for some of the stuff like PBS stuff, and she like seems to like it. So I don't know, there's a market there. My wife is apparently in it.
I mean, there seems like it's such a renegade way of watching TV nowadays.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that watching something free over the airwaves seems like pirating at this point?
Like, we're the cyberpunks right now.
We're the cyberpunks.
With how each of us is like engineering our own bootleg way of watching TV.
Yeah. Rumors persist that Google will launch its own cable killer. They are.
It'll be as big as Google Wave.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody forgets just because Google's so good at so many things, how many failures they've had.
Yes.
I don't think the time is not ripe for Google to jump into TV.
What was Google Buzz? Did you guys use that one?
Yeah, I remember Google Buzz. I don't remember what it did.
I feel like it was just some RSS feed that you could share with your friends.
Google Plus still exists. Surprise.
Man.
Yeah.
Who's using it?
Yeah. Nobody.
Randy.
I'm the king of Google Plus.
Randy, but you can and a bunch access of Russians. It with your Google glasses, so that's a plus.
Amazon, it says the biggest new feature for the streaming service, and this, it's too bad Greg's not here, could be live sports. They're in talks with leagues to acquire streaming rights for a variety of sports.
Amazon?
That would be pretty huge. Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon needs more money. No, seriously, like, all the money is going to be in sports.
Yeah.
So, well, that would be monstrous for them.
This was Greg's biggest argument for why he didn't want to cut the cord, was mm-hmm. that sports, like, getting hold of sports is hard. If someone figures a way out to make that streaming, they're going to make a lot of money.
Well, yes,
not off me.
Especially if you don't have to buy that huge package, because yeah. I only really watch basketball. I'm a Spurs fan. So, like, we watch NBA, yeah. like, and it used to be that I could just get it on, you know, whatever, just the television, just be on Fox or something. But
if you could pay like two really. Extra bucks on your Amazon Prime and you can select the sports.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great. I'd probably watch like maybe some college football or something too, but
yeah.
I know that that's kind of its own shit show. So,
well, that's the thing. I think that that's the market that's probably more than any cloud DVR. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
Yes.
DirecTV Now, AT&T launched. We talked about that. It's got a clunky UI and a lack of cloud DVR. What the fuck is with the cloud DVR? Who cares about cloud DVR?
You're really like upset about this new term.
I don't understand. Yeah, I'd never heard of it before today, and I've said it three times in the same 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, I guess if you can have your own personalized list that's always accessible.
I guess.
Because you've paid a package and then you stored it in your own organizing framework.
But don't you need the internet to access a cloud?
Yeah.
And if you have the internet, can't you stream anything anyway?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably a little bit of a marketing trick.
Yes.
To say that.
People like the word cloud and they used to like DVRs.
Yes. Right. I don't imagine they're duplicating files and storing them on an additional server just for you.
What if they are and they're like alternate versions, and the one you get in the cloud DVR is like personalized?
It just seems like such a waste of space.
What if they
like
come back
every episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're like, hey, Brandy, what do you think about this?
They come back from commercial. Yeah, and they turn to you and they're like, well, what are we going to do about this, Randy? And they can't hear you, so they just go do whatever they were going to do, but it's like you can yell at the screen.
It's basically Dora the Explorer for all of your adult shows.
Oh my God, I want that. I want that so much.
The first show we're going to talk about, I feel like the first person who was talking about how we need to watch this, was it not Les?
It was Les. Les has been pimping the show for a while.
Les has been, like, he joined the TV Dudes, and he has been watching TV like a maniac.
It's kind of like we gave free needles to a heroin user.
Yeah, it's bad. He's like, okay, I just watched this show. And then he rattled off like 12 shows he's watching. I'm like, I think I've watched an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine last month.
Les is keeping me honest in planning. I'm like, okay, we got to talk about that. We got to talk about that. It's good. It's good.
I love it because we just like, hey, we're going to talk about this. And then you and I are like, we're not going to watch that. We're just going to let him binge all the way through it. He'll cover it for us.
I like the idea that it's just nice we got him off the streets. Yeah. Like before, he was just wandering around trying to talk to like whoever happened to walk by, weirding out kids.
Just looking in windows, trying to make shows out of them.
Yeah. Just like peering into people's living rooms with his both palms on the glass. It's like, what are you guys watching?
I now have purpose. Anyway, Fleabag is a new show that I guess came out just a couple months ago, and it's on Amazon Prime for us to watch.
Yep.
So it's only six episodes. They're 30 minutes each. It's it's hard to say comedy because there's some heavy shit here.
But it is a comedy. But yeah, you're right. There's some darkness. It's a British comedy, which you should know what that means.
It's a British dark comedy.
Yeah.
And it is about this lady who we only know by the name Fleabag. Although no one calls her this in the show, that's just the name of the show because she is a lady that she's gross and loudmouthed and insecure
and inappropriate.
And body and inappropriate and and fantastic.
Yes, I love her.
And it's played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is brilliant in this role.
She's really, I mean, all the cast is good. But this show rises and falls on whether or not she can sell this character as being totally horrible and yet completely sympathetic.
And she does that through fourth wall breaking, which is adorable.
And can be obnoxious. Like, there's so many things that could go wrong here. Like, fourth wall breaking can be really obnoxious in TV, and it's perfectly used here.
Yeah, it's just, it's like she looked at how they did Tim's character in The Office.
Yes, those looks at the camera.
Or Jim, I guess, to a lesser extent. But I think that Tim was, in the British version, was even better.
But yeah, there's those things when something goes on and she looks at the camera and gives this like little smile, this little devilish smile, like we're all in on the joke.
Yeah.
And I love her so much in those moments.
It just really enriches the whole thing.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about, when did you get into this, Ashley? Like, how many episodes in did it take for you?
Yeah, I think I was into this, like, late into the second episode before I knew how much I was going to love this show. At first, I was a little nervous that it was going to get tiresome. Mm-hmm. Like, the fourth wall breaking had been working, and in particular, one thing she does is she kind of narrates her sexual experiences. Yep. And those actually really worked for me, because she'd be like, and then he gives you a look, and the camera would cut to his face, yeah. And sure enough, it's like the perfect look. So they were really nailing that. But I was like, man, I don't know, is this going to get tiresome? And then by about the second episode, I was like, no, they're nailing it. Yeah. And it made it something new to watch, which was cool.
Yeah. It's this part of how they make her sort of a villain, and a villain that we love and root for.
Yeah.
Like, she does some things that, like, you're terrible to other people. You're just, like, really terrible to some people. And I love it. I think it's great.
You know what's interesting? And maybe I'm just a bad person, but I mostly was sympathizing with her this whole time. Like, she's just lost someone she loved, and we find out later why, and that's maybe, that, you know, why people are treating her bad, because they blame her for it. But I'm like, you know, she's blaming herself for it. And I'm like, it is to some extent, it was her fault, but the person didn't have to react the way that she did.
I mean, I just meant like in the first couple episodes, yeah. She seemed like very gossipy and very like judgmental.
But like
her, the dude with the teeth, and she was just like, whoa.
But her stepmother's terrible.
She's a horrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated her.
Yeah.
And I loved her because it's Olivia Colman
Olivia Colman, man.
But she was so good at making that character hateful.
Oh my God. Well, and for me, it's like I'm watching it and I'm so sympathizing with Fleabag, yeah. Which is a funny thing to say. But a part of me was like, well, why are you shocked? Because first of all, I know I'm not that good of a person. But second of all, it's kind of like a dark version of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Like when she starts being, so she is really insecure and she derives a lot of her self-worth, especially these days, because she's so grief-stricken with the loss of her mother and this very good friend of hers, that she seeks a lot of validation from people being attracted to her physically. Mm-hmm. It's not even like she takes joy in sex. She mostly likes masturbating. It's just that she likes people to like her. And when no one's paying attention to her, she just turns to whoever's around, and she's a beautiful girl, so that's pretty easy. And this douchebag, he's a douchebag with like these terrible teeth, kind of clings onto her, guy. And she's horrible to him. And a part of you is like, man, I should really be feeling bad for this guy, but I just couldn't wait for her to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't really blame her. Dude, you suck. But but she's kind of the shithole in that situation because he's a nice dude.
I loved all the boyfriends that she had.
Oh, like, so good.
The different quirks and characteristics.
Yes.
In the second episode, there's the trading of surprises.
Yeah.
When she goes and breaks into the shower where he's showering dressed as a ninja trying to stab him. Yes. to romantically tease him. And his whole entire reaction just had me dying.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my, are you okay? Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't breathe.
She gets him to apologize for it. It's great.
And you can see how he's also like, no one is black and white in here.
No.
I think they show the sympathetic side of even the godmother, even Olivia Colman's character. They show how she is with her dad, and how she has this bitter rivalry with Fleabag.
I can't wait until there's more. It seems weird to say because it's six episodes and it's really well done, but I'm looking forward to more because I want to know what the story is with her. She was her godmother, and now she's her stepmother. And there's definitely a sense that something went down there. Like, maybe there was an affair, or there's more to that than just this woman married her dad.
Yeah.
Well, because there's more to that.
Yeah. And it sounded like they got together pretty quick.
Yeah.
So the mother dies of cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of a running thing in the show is that now their dad's kind of paranoid about it. So he sends his two daughters, Fleabag and her sister, Claire, who's successful and rich and beautiful and married to a trashy version of, why did his name just leave me? The guy in Sideways?
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
and that's Brett Gilman.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
great.
So their mother dies, and then it seems like pretty shortly, like too shortly after, their father gets with their godmother mm-hmm. to where you kind of get the sense that the daughters don't like it. And that develops some sort of animosity between the stepmom and the daughters that plays out bad because she's kind of petty, Fleabag is. And
They both are.
And yeah, so it goes south.
I was just really taken with the fact that it seems like kind of the wacky sexual exploits of this young British woman initially. And then you get a little bit more of like, oh, but, you know, she has this relationship with her friend. Like, when are we going to see her friend? Oh, her friend died. Oh, so she's, and recently. So she's, so that like each episode, it kind of made me go and reframe it a little bit more, like what I've seen up until that point. And, you know, I watched this all in an afternoon because it's 3 hours of my time. It's six episodes and it goes really quickly, but it's really well done.
My favorite episode though, the one that made me fall in love with it. And I think of all the episodes is episode four, when she and her sister go to a silent retreat that her dad sends them on, which neither of them have any time for that bullshit. And that's really funny. But the thing that killed me and kept killing me was that they're right down the way is like a better men camp where they keep yelling like slut and whore and she could not be more amused by the whole thing.
Slag,
yes.
Such a weird British one.
Oh my God. That was killing me. And then they brought back the sort of the banker, I thought was a really neat touch. And they did that really well and then brought him back for the final episode.
It was really smart how that rounded it out.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming. All the structure stuff is there, but you don't see it at the beginning. And I think that's really cool.
And it really needed that because it was just hitting on heavy thing after heavy thing after heavy thing. I'm like, you guys can't end it this way. So it ended it with a slight bit of a resolution. That I was like, okay, I can breathe a little bit more. I feel more comfortable talking about this. There's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. So we all heartily recommend this.
Highly, highly, yes. Yeah. Very good. Another one. Okay, we have to apologize to you listeners here. We're going to talk about the show The Expanse, which came on Sci-Fi a long time ago, and everyone has been telling us, this is good, you need to watch it.
Yep.
Not everyone, because it's not a whole lot of people knew about it.
Right.
But certain people in certain circles kept saying, are you guys not watching this? How are you not watching it? And holy shit, what were we missing here?
Also, I'm doubly guilty because I've read the book this is based on and I know it's good.
What?
But I watched the first episode and I thought, it's all right. But the problem with the thing I was worried about was that The Expanse is a six-book series and I've read the first one. And it's really heavy sci-fi world building and a lot of characters and that kind of thing. And I thought, watched the first episode and I thought, that was a lot of characters. I don't really know. It seems like they didn't really deliver everything in the first episode. And then they thin it down and it becomes much more focused in the second episode.
Yeah, it's a lot of work they had to do in order to introduce you to this world. And they don't do it in the cheap, easy way.
No, they do not.
Where they turn to the camera or they have a character who they have to show the ropes so they can just explain to you. Just word vomit a lot of unnecessary exposition. They are respectful of the viewer and say, hey, we're going to take you along in this journey. You just have to trust us for a couple episodes. And I appreciate that more going back. But I had to watch this with subtitles because they also have all these off-world belters.
They speak, what do they call, Creole?
Pigeon kind of weird language.
I also watch with subtitles. Like, I never do that.
What is this?
Yeah.
Okay, so giving a broad explainer of what's going on. This takes place in the 23rd century, so about 100 and so years from now. And the idea is that we've started colonizing other planets. Mars has been colonized to a point where it's broken and is an independent planet with its own independent military. And there's conflict between Earth and Mars a little bit.
Yep.
And all of us, Earth and Mars and a few of these other little like satellite, what are they called? Dwarf
colonies,
dwarf planets.
Yeah, well, I think one of them's the moon, right?
Yeah,
Luna.
Yeah.
Luna. Moons, little satellites, asteroids, things like that.
All of them are requiring resources that are being mined out in space by space miners or belters, as they're called.
Because it's the asteroid belt.
Who work in the asteroid belt, grabbing like water off of planets like Ceres. Ceres is a dwarf planet that's like the biggest rock in the belt. And so they're leeching stuff off of that and bringing it in. And so there's this whole contentious relationship of using this labor force in order to get these supplies, and they don't want to keep doing it, and things start coming to a head because some entity's trying to create war in this system.
Yeah. This is and there's also a conspiracy involving a highly connected sort of corporate officer. His daughter's gone missing, and so this sort of corrupt detective gets hired to look into her disappearance, and that leads to something that will become a pretty big conspiracy element. And there's a woman played by Shura Agladishu, and she's great. She's like one of the heads of the UN, who are the sort of the world government now.
She has that sexy voice.
She's so good.
She nails it.
She's hard as nails, too. She's this sort of badass who sells out her friend for the good of Earth. But there's this whole thing going on where she's, you know, working with the UN and trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, the UN is in charge of Earth, and basically there's a cold war between Mars and Earth, and the UN is in charge of Earth, and she's really the there's kind of two factions within the UN. There's the military side, which I love how in this particular series, in this world, right now the kind of head of the Earth military is kind of a peacekeeper. He is the one who's always trying to talk everybody down. He's the one who doesn't want to go to war. She's the diplomatic CIA kind of secret information sharing wing of Earth's power of the UN, and she will like nail you to the fucking wall. Like she's badass.
Yeah.
And it's also important to mention, like, the problem with the belters is that we're not just leeching off as the planet stuff from them. There's a huge social injustice there where people aren't receiving the right nutrient supplements, so their bones are kind of turning to mush, air filters that they use.
Because they're raised in low gravity.
They're raised in low gravity, so they have all these needs that aren't being met, and so they're basically second-class citizens that are starting to have militant uprisings
Earth. There's a thing called the Outer Planets Alliance, or OPA, that is like this sort of this organized. They're a mix between like organized labor and the IRA. They've got a military arm. They've sort of got a political wing. They run a lot of the docks and that kind of stuff. But they're also like, there's this thought that they might be terrorists. Some people see them as terrorists. And it's the world building on this is fantastic.
Also, they kind of dress like the Satan's cheerleaders from the 90s with a big anarchy symbol on their chest, which I kind of like that as a shout out.
It's a lot. It sounds like we're like describing a lot, but the show does a great job. If you give it two episodes of really kind of introducing you to this and simplifying it so that you understand what's going on. And then because a little bit by necessity of it being a bit of a mystery also that you're following, they'll go in later episodes and actually go, okay, here's what was happening, and like do an explainer episode, which I was like, oh, thank God. Because I was like, otherwise I need to go read a Wikipedia on some of this.
That's something I was curious about, because like I said, I've read the first book, so a lot of this was at least familiar to me, like I sort of knew or something, although they've definitely changed things. And notably, Shura Gladysha's character is not in the first book. From what I've heard, she's in the second one, and they moved that around. But you guys have not read the books. Did you find this pretty accessible?
I found the first episode a little tricky. I think a few things that helped me is, one, and Grant was kind of like touching on this, they do sort of summaries, but then also the main character, we're kind of following two main characters. Holden is one of them, and he is a pilot that gets wrapped up into all this in a weird way.
I call him a tall, muscular Jon Snow.
Low rent Jon Snow, because I'm so partial to Jon Snow. So there's low rent Jon Snow, aka muscly Jon Snow. And then the other main character we're following is the detective that Randy was talking about, Miller.
By Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
Punisher.
Yeah. And with his sweet hair. The hair is acting. He's
definitely got a future haircut.
He's trying to do some Humphrey Bogart thing, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
But since he's trying to solve this mystery, a lot of times he's explaining to other people like what he's found, and it's the future, so that they have these devices that are like, so this ship went here and this other ship went there, that are like 3D diagrams. Mm-hmm. And that helped me keep track of where everybody was.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I really liked about this, but kind of had a little bit of flashbacks to my Black Mirror experience, which is that it's takes place in the future. It's not real, you know that, but it's a stone's throw from like real life, where you're just like, I can see this happening, like, to where intuitively it kind of makes sense. As soon as they're like, oh, you know, like, fuck the Martians, fuck the Belters, we hate Earth, you're like, oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah,
those people are poor, those two people are in a cold war, and everyone's pissed. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately this is 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it still leaves off with this interesting mystery about the end game of the bad guys, I'll say, without spoiling anything, because I really want you guys to go watch this.
And who exactly the bad guys are.
Yeah, and if they are truly bad, or if it's not us not understanding motivation.
Right.
They're certainly duplicitous, and they're stirring up shit as a smokescreen, at least, which is bad.
Yeah.
And
frowned upon.
And it seems like they're doing some experiments on people, which is bad.
They seem to be pretty okay with collateral damage.
Yes.
Very okay with it.
Lots of collateral damage.
But the other thing I think is beyond just being great world building and a good plot, the characters here are really good.
Well, yeah. What'd you guys think of Naomi and Amos?
I love both those characters.
And Shed, I guess.
Not Shed. Shed's only in for a couple episodes.
That's a spoiler, Randy. But yeah, I recognize
Alex,
him.
Alex.
Because he was in the USA show.
Well, there are some names in here. Chad Coleman, who plays Colonel Frederick Lucius Johnson, who is a pretty notable role, and I believe has a pretty notable role to play in this show. He's from The Wire and Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's great. Thomas Jane, of course. And then... I don't necessarily know who... I think the guy who plays Jim Holden has been in other stuff. I can't remember where I've seen him,
but he's
been
in the porn version of Game of Thrones?
It might have been the porn version of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it was definitely... He was also in 10,000 BC. That's where you remember him.
But
when you were like such a big fan of 10,000
BC? I did love 10,000 BC and its sequel, 9,000 BC.
That's a weirdo sequel would count down.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's weird.
Magic City, he was also in, if you did catch some of that.
Okay. I just knew he'd been in some stuff. But they're sort of their crew of the ship that they have. I like all these guys. I mean, I really love Amos. And
Amos warmed up on me. Initially, I was like, are you just being this like typical brooding asshole? And to an extent, yes.
Well, he's like Jane from Firefly, but he's somehow even more focused and like ruthless.
He seems to have more of a code about it, and he seems at least more tactically intelligent.
Well, and his devotion to Naomi is really interesting.
Yeah,
and Naomi's really interesting because she is she's sort of the de facto captain, even though she's not the ranking captain, because everybody respects her more than Holden. But she respects Holden, and they have an interesting relationship that I can't tell if there's romantic chemistry there or not.
I think they like playing with it because they like hinting at a love triangle.
And then Alex, I don't know if you guys noticed this, Alex seems to have a little bit of like a Southern Texas accent.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like that dude.
Yeah.
he's the lighter one. I mean, I don't want to go all Firefly on this. He's definitely not Wash, but there's definitely, you can map parallels onto a little bit. Like
I think all of these characters
where you can go,
okay, this is obviously this person from Firefly.
It's not Firefly, but if you miss Firefly,
I see what you're saying.
this would be a good substitute.
It looks more like Battlestar Galactica, but it's well written and tight and cohesive the way that Firefly is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the special effects. I mean, this is a sci-fi
show. Great.
But the special effects are so good.
Yeah.
This was just a big surprise, a lot of fun, and I completely agree. Like, if we were doing our top 10 list again, this would be jockeying for a spot much more. This and Fleabag.
Yeah, we totally missed these. They were just too much TV. But season 2 starts February 2nd.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I got to find a way to watch it because Sci-Fi isn't on anything, but I'm glad that they finally got this on streaming. That's one of the other things I think is weird, that they didn't put this on streaming until like a month before its second season started.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, this is a show that there's a lot of buzz around, and I think if they had gotten us streaming sooner, it probably would have gotten even more buzz.
Yeah.
Well, one other cool thing is that Adam Savage on his podcast is always talking about The Expanse and how great it was. So I was mm-hmm. excited to finally get to see it. And he did a making of that's also available on Amazon right now.
Oh.
Where he was just a super fan of it. And so they were like, well, come on and we'll talk about season two. So that's nice. On Amazon right now too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, two great shows for you guys to watch. I think that's pretty cool. We definitely want you guys to watch this and give us your thoughts. Or if you've already watched it. Tell us like, man, how you guys not even know about this? You call yourself the TV dudes. Get with it. I'm happily binging a couple more shows. Some of them were recommended, of course, by Les.
Yeah, we're on binge mode right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just really trying to cram myself in as soon as I can. But listeners, thank you so much for, checking us out this week. And Randy, thank you. Ashley, thank you.
Thank you.
Until next week, guys.
TV dudes out.
What?
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.